Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. And today's guest is Lauren Kurth. How are you going, Lauren?
Good, thanks, Peter. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the time out to come on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Now, you're located in Queensland, aren't you?
Yes, in Mullaney on the Sunshine Coast, Tinsland.
Beautiful area.
It is, beautiful.
Cool. What's it like up there today?
Nice and cool. We've had a bit of rain, so yeah, it's been pretty hot, so it's lovely.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, we've had a bit of a cool change, but it's been, 40 degree plus days, so it's good to get the cooler weather coming through. Now, we connected over Facebook, and you've started Oz eSETI, which is Oz Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Yep.
And you cover a wide range of healing techniques, doing CE5 contact work. You've got support groups, UFO discussion, aura photos, and hypnosis. You cover a wide range of things. How did this all start? Because it's like myself, I cover a wide range of things myself, but it's like that drive from the experience is just, there's no ifs or buts with how you go about what you do, because you know this is what you got to do. But how did this all start for you?
Well, it started early in childhood, actually. I had some experience and saw some UFOs from about the age of five. I had an experience at five where I was woken up at night by silent craft outside my window, which multiple people saw. That was in New Zealand when I was a child. And I always had sort of abilities of knowing when the phone was going to ring and who was on the call, and clairvoyant ability and getting to see events in the future that happened, and yeah, just that sort of thing. So healing and that paranormal had always been a passion of mine. I just had an ability to help people just through talking. So I started probably actually doing healing work in about 2006, I think it was. Just a home-based business working with a device that heals with parasites, funguses and things like that. And then I moved into sound therapy with crystal singing bowls and the subconscious mind. I really wanted to understand the mind and how it works and how to help people through undoing all their patterns and programming. And that led me to hypnosis in 2011 with Dolores Cannon. And it's just sort of grown from there. And I started working out of my office probably 9 months ago. And Saturday I signed the lease to take the building over myself and take Oz eSETI more public and share experiences with UFOs and ETs and start my own groups where people can come and experience it for themselves.
No, that's fascinating. Also, you've done training with Mary Rodwell, so it's sort of like you've got the two best people you could possibly have training with for hypnosis.
I know, pretty lucky.
Has there been much activity this year up Queensland way? Personally, myself, I noticed that there's a lot of activity for the last probably year or maybe 2 years up and down the whole East Coast, going from Victoria on the East Coast all the way up your way.
Sure.
Has there been much going on in terms of reports or just, by the grapevine hearing about pretty good sightings up that way?
Yeah, definitely. I am part of CDRG with Kay McCulloch, and we go out monthly and we see stuff every CE5. We had a great experience a fortnight ago. People just coming to talk to me see things all the time. I probably speak to someone once a week just on the street that will tell me about their sighting. And I know up Mary Rodwell's way they have a lot of sightings. I saw something two nights ago just sitting on my balcony. The bright light in the sky that then did a manoeuvre that is beyond our aeroplane capability. It sort of flashed at me and then gone in a flash really quickly.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's pretty steady and constant.
Definitely. Like we were talking about before the show, you had about 40 sightings last year, and I filmed about 200 myself, and talking to people everywhere is that it's just the amount that the activity's boosted, especially for experiences, and also just for the average Joe, just seeing something, it's like at an all-time high.
Oh, it is, definitely. I've definitely in the last 3-4 years seen more in my life than I did sort of growing up. I might see as a child, maybe four times a year, I'd see something that was definitely a UFO. You know, it was doing maneuvers and circles and things. But the last 3 years, it's really, really picked up.
Yeah, no, it definitely has. So from when you were younger, you sort of, you knew the experience is real, but you didn't have the phase of where sort of the fear factor that a lot of experiences have until they accept what's going on. It's sort of like you just rolled with what was going on from when you were younger.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't had a lot of fear. I used to know I was having, after I saw my first UFO at five, I started having experiences. And I knew when it was going to happen, sort of about sundown, I'd hear what I now know is like a craft sound. It's a low hum sound.
And this really high, 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 tingy pitch to it as well?
Yeah. There's variations of sound.
Yeah.
But it was feeling I got inside, and I used to know that I was going to have an experience, and I actually looked forward to them, and there was a sense of community or almost family. It wasn't frightening at all.
Yeah.
I quite often used to go to bed early, so I put myself to bed, and the experiences I remember, I never actually got to see the face of the beings. I have in hypnosis as an adult and in meditation seen them, but I'd be in sleep state, and then, you know, when you have a dream and you know you're dreaming and it feels like you're awake but you're still in that sleep state, I used to be aware that the window would open and a blue light, sort of iridescent blue light, used to fill my bedroom. And then I'd get to see sort of from the neck down with two beings that I felt familiar with. And
were these physical beings or were they like light beings?
No, they were physical.
Yeah,
I remember them as physical because we used to link arms and I used to believe I could fly, but I think it was going out with them, and I'd see a light and then I didn't remember much else after that. But I used to come back with just understandings of things when I was a child that kind of didn't fit my environment or my age perhaps, and just a connection with animals and being able to see the aura around plant life and things like that. And I had a few other unusual experiences where I had woken up in another bed in the bedroom that I didn't go to sleep in, and I did wake up outside one time sitting on the porch with a dog. So
yeah, I'd wake up in places I didn't know how the hell I got there.
I honestly thought it was sleepwalking because I had woken up in different areas of the house. But when I met Mary Rodwell and went on her site and looked at her contactee questionnaire, I probably answered 95% of it. Was looking like it was more than just dreams, and they were repetitive dreams and dreams that were very vivid that I remembered as well. So
yeah, a lot of mine in the you could say dream state is just I remember too much detail, and I knew it was just too weird to know, because you have dreams that just don't make sense, you know, and that's usually your dreams just before you wake up. I think scientists say it's around 4 or 5 in the morning your brain does something to have these weird dreams. Who knows really, because a lot of science gets proven wrong and then they come up with another theory. But the meditation side of things, I know what you're saying, and in the beginning for me it was more the beings, like they would rock up during the day physical.
Sure.
Sometimes it'll be the light blue light beings, so they're physically in this vibration. Sure. But you could see that they're light beings, and now it's progressed to that, but very rarely now it's more just direct, you know, telepathy communication, or you see them in your mind's eye. So that's fascinating with yours, because I noticed with a lot of experiences or that I talk to, they're sort of, it's weird, they come to me and they're sort of between the fear stage and being pissed off. And I've got what I call it, and Rodwell's got a similar thing, but my terminology is you go through, not all of them, like yourself, you didn't go through this, but it's more fear, pissed off, and then you get so pissed off that you accept it and then you embrace it once you learn. Because it's not knowing where you're from, what you're doing, what the hell is going on. But once you learn little bits and pieces, they go from being pissed off to weaning into acceptance and all that. So that's been totally different from you, which I do come across a lot. There's those that just knew it from the beginning. They were in tune. And it's funny you're talking about what I would call the oneness, knowing, you know, connection with plants and animals and, you know, being able to see auras and all that. Once you're in that vibration frequency where you're tapped into that level, which we've all really got it when we're born, but it's sort of detuned out of us by society and, you know, what's meant to be normal. So that's fascinating. So over time, like, it's progressed and then you got into healing. What's going on now? Like, I saw, I think it was yesterday, that you've got the Bliss Centre up and running now.
The Bliss Centre I helped co-found and create, that has now moved premises because the Dutta or monk that I started it with from the school my children attend has been replaced somewhere else. So that sort of, it was a meditation and yoga centre with offices in the back that I work from. So now that's changed and I'm creating the Aussie City Centre. So, and it's going to be all about the healing and hypnosis, but also an information centre where people can come and look at photos people have taken with places, dates and the cameras, and ask questions. And if they're having experiences themselves and they're ready, they can come out and do an ET UFO contact night with me.
Yeah. No, it's a great thing to do that. And like we were talking beforehand, I sort of do it with anybody that's sort of on our level in terms of had experiences in meditation. Because any average Joe, just in my opinion, it can work. I think it would work with anybody if you had a massive group.
Sure.
But just when it's smaller groups, you need sort of everyone on. Well, it's just my opinion. What I've noticed after doing it for a while is that you need everyone sort of on the same level, and you connect as, you know, as a group on a greater level.
I agree. And being a core group together is very important as well, to have your core group.
Exactly.
Everyone's back when you invite people in. I create my own meditations with the singing bowls and things as well. So to hear that and hear the vibration kind of gets them into that mindset and that energy to create a space. I also crystal grid the place as well.
Yeah.
To set a vibration for everyone to come so that it takes away any anxiety and fear. And working with the mind's great for that because you can know what techniques to help people relax.
So. Oh, definitely. I think it's using, especially when you've got newcomers coming into it, the more tools you can have, the better.
Sure.
Sometimes I'll pull every single thing I can think of together when there's newcomers, even though they're on that level of, I know that it's not going to be a fearful experience and they're open to it and they've seen stuff, but I will still grab more tools out of the book, so to speak, because it's sort of making it fun, but connecting as one and having that loving vibration there with us, you know, it's upping them and they're like, you know, all wondering, looking at the sky and all that sort of stuff. So it's a good type of thing. That it's funny you mentioned the crystal grid, because I've had experiences where I've done it and meditated within one, and then, you know, things happen. Actually, with Damien Knott and Dunny Do, he didn't know what to make of it, but I said, man, we'll have a going outside, because he knew that I did it. And I made a grid, and then we sat in it and meditated. We come out of it, and he was just like, man, I thought this was a load of crap. And he's blissed out from the energy, and then all of a sudden, it's the middle of the day. Or not the middle of the day. It probably would have been like an hour or two before sundown, and the craft, which was a triangle with wings, came over us and then turned into a disc and then phased out and turned into a ball and followed a plane. He filmed it. It's up on his YouTube channel. But that was somebody that's witnessed so much that, yeah, he was just blown out afterwards. And I knew I had to use that tool with him.
Sure.
Because something was just, you know, my higher self was just going, this is what you got to do. And I rarely used the crystal grid. But then you've got other things like, personally, I incorporate Qigong before it now. And I'll get the body and mind, you know, energies working as one, and then I'll go into a deep meditation. What's the process you guys would use when you go out and do a CE5?
Well, with Kay McCulloch, we go out and she usually, I've done a meditation before, but normally she would use Stephen Greer's Puja that we taped when he came to Australia. And his meditation as well as crop circle tones get played at different times. But we do a ritual sometimes where there'll be drumming and smudging of the group to enter a ceremony, so that it's a sacred space for everybody. It's a bit flexible.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You got to do what you feel's right for the night.
Sure, and just an honouring as well. You know, there's always a table with flowers, and if people want to bring something that's precious to them, a crystal or anything that they would like to use as an offering to connect. we do that as well, which I think is really nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
I downloaded Dr. Gree's app.
Ah,
I'd give it a go after I started it, and some weird stuff happened straight up. Seeing how they use a walkie-talkie and put it up to one of the crop circle tones.
Oh, yeah.
And I did that for about 10 minutes and just left it. And, I call it thought transfer when I get telepathy. It's sort of like, because it's their thought entering my thought pattern. Yeah. Walked outside and this craft was down so low, it blinked, there was nothing, then it blinked in. It was huge, bigger than a full moon. And then by the time I ran back inside, got out and got the camera and put it up, it just blinked out just on time. I'm like, you little buggers. Because every now and then I know that it's a game with them as well, in the sense that we know why you're doing it sometimes. Because sometimes if even though you can connect with them, if you haven't got the right intention, they will play funny buggers.
Yeah.
So you still get stuff, but if you just wanted to capture stuff, and I just didn't know if that was going to work, but it did work, and I've used a couple of his meditations, and the tones is one thing I will use on occasions when newcomers come on board, just to make it fun and show them, different things. But I've had weird stuff going on with that walkie-talkie. Hasn't even got batteries in it, and it goes off now. I'll wake up at 5:30. I've got a video at 5:30 in the morning thing just going off at its nut, and I'm just like, what the hell? But I'm not sure if that happened before I got the app or afterwards, but I still have weird stuff going on with that. So when Dr. Greer came to Australia, you got to catch up with him and do initiating contact session with him?
Yes, I was his driver, actually. I picked him up from the airport when he arrived in Australia, took him to his hotel. I turned out to almost be his assistant. You blinked out too, Peter.
I blinked out. I'm back.
I was his driver and got to take him to dinner and be there in his lectures and do his contact work over the two nights up at Springbrook at the Smurf Research Facility there.
Awesome. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes.
Yeah. Am I back?
You're back, yeah.
Am I back? there's been a lot of, people talking blah, blah, blah about Dr. Greer, but personally, I don't know the man, and I've said this on the show, I think he's done so much for us as a world society in terms of getting military witnesses out there. And also sort of being the person getting up front, doing what we do now, which is, CE5, though we've got a different terminology for it. And James Gilliland's done a hell of a lot for getting this out there too. What was he like hanging around? He's pretty chilled out?
Yeah, he was a multifaceted man, I must say.
Yeah.
But he was funny, very respectful towards me. We had a lot of fun, actually. I got him really well. I called him Steve-O. I got his first selfie picture.
awesome.
A very interesting man, a lot of good stories. And, when he spoke about the science of consciousness, in a really heart space, it was quite brilliant. So
He does it in such a way where it brings some technical stuff into it, but he does make it so the layman can understand.
He does.
Yeah, it's fascinating how, because I've heard a lot of, seen a lot of videos and stuff that where he's spoken, even with the meditations, how he does stuff is in such an organised fashion that you do get it. If you're willing to give it a go. I'll just wipe my nose. I've just got a bit of a flu at the moment. What got me is I was telling you I got an email from Mariana Flynn when he was here, and there was a lot of stuff that he saw that others didn't pick up, but when you went back over the footage, there was a lot of trippy stuff that was picked up on that session, which I was telling you, and you've had experiences where, I don't know if I've talked about this before on the show, even though it's going to sound nuts, but this is the way it is, like I've had crafts land on us, but they're just outside of our frequency where the atmosphere changed. You walk out and you come back in, you can actually see the beings inside the craft. Even though it's landed on you, as weird as that sounds, stuff like that happens and the beings vibrating in and out. I read that in his book, and that's when it hit me that, this dude's for real even more than what I thought, because how he described those experiences, I never spoke about because I thought this is just too far out there.
Yeah.
But yet others are experiencing that. So there was trippy stuff that happened on that, the contact session.
Oh, definitely. We had a lot happen. I think it comes down to people's connection as well and their level of experience and how often they practice that kind of work. The first night it was the group from that had been there, and there were some people that were just going to the lecture but not to the evening, and he ended up letting everyone come the second night, which was brilliant. So there was people that had never done anything like that before, and we had more activity that night than the first. Yeah, you know, people were hearing things and others weren't, but it got picked up on all the recorders. We had an amazing night. People, we had beings, bird beings taken photos of on iPhones, and also the night vision cameras by Greg at Smurf. And I was there. There was no lights on. It was dark. He was doing a puja, and you can see the ball of light. It was actually illuminating on people. And if you go onto my Lauren Kirk Aussie SETI page, there's actually a photo of it, or actually on the Smurf research at Springbrook site, you can see it. There's a picture of Dr. Greer with his hand up, and then you can see a huge orb above him. It was the biggest orb I've ever seen. During that meditation experience, I actually went into that. It was a craft three times.
Yeah.
The last time, Stephen was in there as well. And
so you know what I'm talking about when it's...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was in complete meditation. Apparently, I had head back and mouth open. Yeah. And Greg had taken a photo of it, and I had just experienced it. You know, it was definitely, the camera he had, it had to be something of thermal heat, giving off thermal heat, a living.
So it would have had to be like a thermal digital camera or an infrared something.
I think he had infrared. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I use personally. And I've seen what you're talking about, and the quality of the infrared too is very pristine clear. I haven't got the best equipment, money-wise, I just can't afford it, but I get a little bit of static, the white dots, you know, going throughout the footage, but the footage that you guys got was pretty darn clear.
It was really clear. And the next day, everyone in the core group, we felt sunburnt. Now, it was a very windy night, but I was covered head to toe. All you could see was my eyes, but the wind was coming from our back, you know, so there's no way we would have been sunburnt, but everyone felt it, and we felt like we'd been hit by a bus, actually, so from the experience, from the energy. But we saw lots of things behind me. The whole two nights, you could see like a white sort of apparition of a craft, and at one stage it looked like a being stepped out or orbs were floating around. Yeah. There's in the photo where the Birdman is, if you look up into the sky, you can see the interdimensional craft and the sacred geometry around it. It was amazing. There was orange massive orbs or craft in the sky actually moving around when we first arrived. People saw lots of things. We heard lots of clicking, which we thought were mantid beings. There was so much, it's hard to recall. Yeah.
Oh, and people don't
Brilliant
get how much
experience.
Stuff
it was
can
a
happen.
Really great weekend.
So much stuff can happen when you're doing that type of thing too. Sometimes we get up to, you know, film 20 crafts. A lot of it's up on the net that what I've got, and we've got the orbs down. Same as what you're saying, just you get all this different type of activity.
Sure.
And people just wouldn't believe it unless they were there. And then people come out with me and, you know, they're just totally blown away. Like they just go, you know, geez, you know, this is for real. So much can happen from that. And it's not about seeing the crafts as we spoke about before the show. It's making that connection as a group and then individually within yourself as well, which when you've got that love and intent and that's your intent to make that connection, so much more stuff would happen than if not so.
Sure, yes, definitely. I've missed many opportunities for a sighting going for the camera because my intention was to capture some stuff. And so for a while there, I just relaxed and made it about the connection and the heart space rather than wanting to capture photos. The intent for that was to use them for my centre. But now I'm going to have a night vision camera made that I can set up and take photos so I can stay completely focused in the connection and let the camera do the work.
That's it. What I sort of do is give people jobs, you know, make it fun. I'll get one person on the laser, I'll be on the camera and somebody's watching the EMF meter, you know, with the lights on it, you know, stuff like that. Just so everything's covered. And I just keep I've got a weird pole that connects onto a monocular night vision camera. I'll either have that or I'll be standing next to the tripod the whole time. But I've taken people out and they stuff with the equipment and I'll say, have you even, you know, asked them in your head yet? Have you connected? They're too worried about capturing something or stuffing around with equipment. And
sure.
It just will not happen. because their focus is on something else, not where it should be. And that's why I sort of just take care of the capturing aspect with the camera, because I can do that at the same time, and if they pop up, I've got it in my hand, bang, sure, ready to go. So I know exactly what you're saying, and that's good, because you know, you want to keep that focus and be aware, because there's a lot of stuff going on where you'll get communication, whatever, and if you're fumbling with something, mucking around, you're not going to really notice it like you should, as if, you know, you're on that state of clear head, just so you can connect. So that's awesome that you're doing that. I've just started working with an all sky camera, and I've got another camera now where I can just leave it and just sit it somewhere and it can keep taking pictures. So the more stuff you can get, the better, I guess.
Sure. My intention too is to get a recording device. So we usually get there early and set up the gear and set up the circle in daylight before we head down to the circle to start the meditation and the connection. But to have a voice sensitive voice recorder, so if the EMF reader's going off, you can hear its flash, and someone can call what the reading was, and it can be picked up and deciphered later and go through it later, so that we can stay focused in the moment. And also having people write reports with the debriefing at the end of the night's important, while it's fresh in the memory.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, just keep a record that way.
And doing a group thank you as well. Yeah, definitely. I've used the recorder a few times. I haven't noticed anything really weird on it, but just with the amount of stuff, I just haven't bothered at the moment because it's just so much to go through. But the more people, when I've got more people, that's a different matter, because everyone can sort of go through something themselves. So people don't know how much. It's like when I used to investigate the paranormal, I'd have like 7 cameras throughout different rooms and outside, and then I've got to go through the 8 hours footage of each camera. Then sure, the audio to each one, and recall and log experiences. There's a lot of work to it. So the more people you got, it works out a hell of a lot better.
Yeah. And as much as I'm interested in collecting the research, for me it's really about allowing people to have their own experience.
Yeah.
Because I'm a believer, I don't need to prove it to anybody. If people want proof, then they can come along and have a go themselves. And that changes everything. It makes you think about who we are in the universe, who we are as human beings, and our future, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and it makes people think about past life and connection to why, when they do have their experiences, or if they've been having experiences all along, why? Because this is where it gets trippy. It's like not about the crafts, and it's really not even about them, because then you work out you are them.
We are.
That you have been them, and that it's a lot deeper than just, you know, working out how far a craft is and the diameter of the craft. And it's really stuff that even if you do work it out, what does it prove?
Sure, and how can you prove that as well, you know? That
yeah, we are. And how can you prove that this photo is real now with Photoshop? You know, it's all this stuff that comes into play. But I'm glad you said that, because my main aim with what I do now is I teach meditation and do Reiki and other forms of healing work, psychic healing work, Qigong, incorporate into sort of my own style and sort of teach people to get from what they can and make their own style. Because I think if you know what you're doing and you don't know how to do it, you're usually on the right path, because you can't, it's so beyond human word or any sort of language to describe how you do what you do. But the main point of it all is to get people their own connection, not just to their inner self, but to source. Sure. Because from there, they can sort of backtrack and work everything else out when they're meant to.
Sure.
So if anything that I like to achieve out of what I'm doing, I guess yourself, is getting their own connection to whatever they can connect to. And just giving them tools, and that they're doing it themselves.
Definitely. I formulated quantum cellular resonance. That is 6 therapies in one. And it was during meditation that it was given to me what I needed to do. And it starts with the mind process and then works into the cells of the body and then into the energy field. But I use a lot of sacred geometry and sound vibration.
Now, is that sort of going into the healing side of things, or DNA activation, or more healing?
Not so much DNA activation. I look at programs, so your conditioning when you were young and why you do the things you do in your life. And then I use a thought field therapy, tapping on the body, on the meridian, to release it from the cells and actually change the structure of the blood from when you're stressed with whatever's not working, yeah, to being healthy again. And then I move that into the energy field and actually capture it with sacred geometry they also have their neural pathways opened because that's what geometry does, but I activate geometry in the field. So that actually gives them the stronger connection to source because it's
Well,
the
it's like
healing.
tuning their energy bands and their aura and everything else that it just opens straight up.
Very much so, and it's all very scientifically based. I was guided by the beings I work with to go and listen to Nassim Haramein in August last year, and I did. And what he was talking about with his free energy technology and how that happens within the structure of the universe is actually what's happening during the healing, the way we're spinning the cells to release more light and connect with the quantum field, the God field. So that opens people up to a connection.
Yeah, I do similar stuff. I just didn't know that's what I was doing, but I was sort of given it during meditation too, and I started first doing it on me. And then
sure.
I incorporate it when I'll do healing techniques on others, because you will spin the cells. And
yes.
it open. Yeah, that's... I haven't heard anybody else talk about that. The one thing that I heard lately, just while I remember, is that scientists have proved that the chakras exist lately too.
Sure.
I saw in something too, and I know how to open them and close them, but I've got to be wary when doing it, because if you open people up too much, all this shit comes in that they're hearing voices and they're seeing things, and you've sort of just got to tune them like a guitar, tuning
sure.
strings to where you've opened them a bit, but everything's in line.
Sure.
And then you can sort of just slowly open, close, you know, sort of tune it how to the individual things it should be.
Sure. I actually don't work through the chakras. I work as the energy being as a whole, as oneness.
Yeah, as a whole, yeah, yep.
More with the shape of an icosahedron, and I work with the cosmic heart, which is sacred geometry. It's about a meter front and a meter back, and so that's the Metatron cube. And then you've got the flower of life, which is the cells, and when they're the masculine and feminine of the universe, and when they interact, and it works through the heart field, you start drawing energy and information from the quantum field all around
yes.
you, which creates
it's
whole lot
everywhere.
Of experiences, and that's pretty amazing.
Now that's awesome.
Lots
yeah,
of people
like
having great experiences with that.
Yeah. The main thing I work with, I'd say, is the energy as a whole too. I just don't know how I do what I do, but there's a lot of, I don't know, working with energy bands. I had these three Syrian beings. I had a lot of negative stuff, but it was from Black Ops that was going on. And
sure.
I've had contact with Orions and Pleiadians, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And they were cat beings. And then I found out others had experiences with them, but there was nothing... There was no similar information. All these dudes were doing was doing energy work with me. And they
sure.
were showing me how to work with energy bands. And they came through probably three times. And then this one lady comes through who's called... She calls herself Padma, even though it's not her name. She said, you can call me Padma. She's this beautiful feline being. And she keeps on... Every now and then will pop up and show me just a little bit more of how to work with these. I see the energy as a whole. And...
Sure.
It's different from the other beings. I'll be in my house meditating, and in my third eye, I can see where I am in my lounge room. So it's like as if my eyes are open, but my eyes are shut. So I could still see what I can as if they were open.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've opened them, and I can see her vibrating in and out. So I close them, and she's more physical again. But I can actually see the energy when she's pulling the strings out as well. And it's like she's shaping, molding, and tuning them.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean by...
I do. I mean,
bands?
In my sessions, there's always beings that come with the person as well that come to support. And sometimes I do have telepathy with those beings. Yeah, I mean, they're always there. They're always there helping and assisting. I tend to not tune in too much to what they're doing and stick to what I'm doing, purely because I try and keep it somewhat mainstream and scientific, because
yes.
a lot of people need that. Those people that I know I can talk about those kind of things with, they're interested. I actually had an ET experience where I had a procedure of sorts in the dream state, and I was well aware what was happening, and I demanded to see. And from that moment on, I started toning, and I was toning in my healing one day, and one of the beings said to me, you need to record the sound. So I used three
so
different...
So that's using sound.
Sound. I used three different chromatic meters, and I'm actually toning the 528 hertz, which is the love frequency or the coherent universe, and that's actually what's spinning the cells. So I know they're always there. I don't always tune into them. I'm trying to tune into the field, because I actually use sound to tell me what's in the body, where that person's energy level at, whether the cells are spinning, and focusing. It's a lot of focus work with consciousness with the sacred geometry, because something that I do is capture whatever is released from the body and use sound to turn it back to love frequency, so it isn't just floating around in their torus and flows back into them, or it doesn't flow onto any other interdimensional.
Because you've got the blockages and all that, which is what you're trying to work out, is the blockages and where the problems are. And it's good that you bring that up with keeping focus, because I'll only let the people know if the beings are there if they tell me that they've got to tell them something. But sure. Otherwise, I sort of not worry about them, because I know that they're with them, or my dudes will be with me. But if anything needs to be said, it's going to be said. Otherwise, it's just focus.
Sure.
That's interesting about the sound. I've been looking into that lately. I haven't been able to see it or do it myself in person. I do that more with my mind, but I'd like more tools myself so I could focus on other things when doing it. Because the more you can cover, the more you can do.
Sure.
But it's sort of just whatever works for anybody else. So, what can you go into depth a little bit about the devices you use when you do these?
I don't use devices as such. I use crystal singing bowls, and I do use the solfeggio tuning forks.
The tuning forks, yeah.
Yeah. I use the bowls. They vibrate the body. They help people relax and go into an altered state. A lot of people say they leave their body during the session, which I usually can see. Energy leaving, but I can also tell by the physical responses, because you learn that with Dolores Cannon's hypnosis, because you actually work with the oversoul and deep state, and the healing happens a lot better if you can get their energy out of the body. It's the conscious mind isn't fighting or questioning or trying to analyze everything. So I use the bowls a lot because the vibration goes right through the body. I do use tuning forks depending on the physical situation that's going on, or emotional. And sometimes I will use the tuning fork next to their ear while I'm toning, and you can't tell the difference. Quite often people, when I'm toning just on my own, people will say they thought there was three or four people toning in the group, and it's actually just my voice. So it doesn't even sound like it's coming from me, and it's quite effortless. But it's great. I don't get drained in my healing. I actually get energized. I had a client the other day, you know, I couldn't wait to give them a hug before they left because I was just feeling so much joy.
Do you have a technique to do that? Because I do. I feel really good after doing healing on someone, and a lot of the time others that I know don't, and I sort of have a technique for that. Do you?
What
Well, sort of where you don't take on their energy, sort of like the energies, the negative energies and all the bad crap, I sort of psychically put it into a portal where it's going to dissolve. So my energies aren't left on them and their energies aren't left on me.
That's something I've never experienced, being drained. I've always been very sovereign in my energy. I'm not bringing in energy. I'm using my heart field.
Yep.
So I'm maintaining my own energy always. But I use a cube, a sacred geometric cube. I quite often put a crystal cube under the table, but I use it with consciousness and set up an etheric grid. My office is always gridded as well with a lot of black tourmaline, and that dissolves.
Yeah, this is always gridded, this whole place as well, yeah. Yeah.
My veggie patch, everything's gridded. But I use the cube, so I'm actually, during the session, when they're releasing through the heart, the cosmic heart, I've already got a cube there and it's capturing. And then I use my voice with visualization and consciousness to dissolve that, anything negative that's come out of them and their experience. You know, right from the very beginning, before they've even started, the healing actually starts the moment they make the phone call, because I'm talking to their mind.
Higher self, it's already connected.
Higher self, because the higher self wants the best for everyone. So when they come in, the first thing when they sit down, we both put in our own individual cubes and then a cube within the room. And so then when every time I tone, which is I probably tone 20 times in a session, that the energy's turned back to pure love consciousness. And I also muscle test to make sure, using my own body, and then to make sure that the job's done as well.
Yeah. Now, it's funny, once it's done over, you were touching on the voice before, and I healed my brother one day and I said, right, done. And he had to go like that to his ears. He said, man, you sounded like, it was like as if God coming in on a PA system saying, and it was just my normal voice. But because sure. He's coming back and everything sort of on tune, everything was just so pure and clear and coming through loud.
Sure. I had an experience the same the other day. I had a friend from a core group that I'm in ask me whether I'd recorded that sound. We were having a birthday barbecue for someone, and someone asked to hear it. So I did it, and he actually said to me, "I actually thought that was noise coming out of the stereo." And then I realized, it was you at 5'2" standing there with this massive sound coming out of you, and it looked effortless. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
no, it's trippy stuff.
Yeah.
You touched on a good point before too with the higher self, because what's happening is we are all knowing already, but when you come into the body computer, there is that filter, and we think that this is all there is if you're not connected with that, the all-knowing you.
Sure.
So there's a lot of like reading Dolores's work, and I know myself when working with people, it's trying to get the higher self through into them on a level where it's not too much, but you're saying the higher self wants the best for this, part of it into this body computer, the human body. But it's trying to get that connection in the point where whether it's past life or whatever it is, to let go of things, whether it's health, emotions, whatever it is, because it's like contracts. People are like, I'm here, I signed this contract, it's because of karma this is happening. And what I found out is that it really doesn't mean crap, because you can rewrite your contract. You can go your own way. You can create a new tomorrow through instead of thinking, oh, I've got this contract, how about you screw it up? Everybody goes away in love and light, and we just do what we've got to do, go move on from here. And this is where that's been working for a lot of people with myself. There's sometimes that it won't work, and it's not imposing what I think people should do, it's what they should think they should do, but think outside the box. But
Sure.
it's a hard thing because connecting with that higher self, it's that's where a lot of the work is done on an emotional and physical level, where a lot of things can be healed. How's it been for you doing hypnosis? Have you done much hypnosis, like in terms of doing it on people?
Yes, I have. When you study with Dolores, she recommends you go away and practice on people. And I practiced 3 hour sessions instead of half an hour either side, and a 2 hour of hypnosis for at least 50 people. But I've probably done hypnosis on close to, I don't know, 500, 600 people
Yeah.
so far. Yeah.
No,
Yeah.
it's trippy. I've started doing it myself, on others. It was
Yeah.
because the way Rodwell did it, I was blown out, because it was almost how I meditate, but different.
Yeah.
And the first person I did, I connected straight up with the higher self, and it just blew me out, because it blew me out personally. Rodwell was talking at points to my higher self, but then other beings jumped in,
Sure.
and I can remember going like, there was my race in Orion, and they're humans, but I think they're actually light beings, because one of them turned into a light being. And as he came in, I'm like, okay, jumped out. And I can remember Rodwell's like, were you sitting here? Which is like above my left shoulder. And
Sure.
I'm like, yeah. And she goes, were you watching in on it? I said, yeah, but I can't remember what happened. I said, I can remember bits and pieces once I left the body. But I said, that was a trip. Like, and I can't even watch it. I've watched it like 4 times, but I just can't anymore, because it's too much to. It's just not me, when that happens.
It's quite classic that people won't listen to their CD and things afterwards.
I had to listen to it, and
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot of times, but now it's just like I can only handle so much, because it was like, that's not me, and that's where it's hard to watch, especially for my family. Has that happened with you some of the time where other dudes jump in and.
Most definitely. That's very common, especially if I get them into a deep state. I've only ever had probably three people that I couldn't get into deep state trance. The rest go pretty quickly, and their voice changes. And depending on the person, if I've got someone I know that's into spirit, their spirituality, or into ET sort of thing, I ask permission to ask. And quite often I'll ask if there's anybody else or anything else with love that wants to come through and talk and give information. And I've had people come through and have three different types of beings. They sound different. The language is different. I had one client that spontaneously started speaking in ET language and had a full experience with her ET. And just couldn't believe it was her. Couldn't remember. And sometimes they'll remember little bits, but it turns out over the day sounding like a dream. Like I usually give people their CD a week later and allow it to integrate. And she just couldn't believe it was her, So There's some really amazing things happen, and that's how Dolores did her research. She stuck with a series of questions, and she did the research on many hundreds of people asking the same things and getting the same information to verify.
Conscious coming through. Yeah.
And of course, once you have a certain number of people, it then has some validity and credibility. So.
Oh, it's awesome, her books too. Once I got to Convoluted Universe 1, I was like, this is the shit. This is what I like. It just resonated so well with me. And then I didn't know about it till start of last year. Oh, no, start of 2012, I think it was. And people were telling me I was getting the same information. And then I started reading the stuff, but hers was so much more in detail because of all the people she's worked with.
Sure.
But it's, if people out there haven't heard of Dolores Cannon, I recommend watching some of the videos on YouTube of her and getting her books because they're absolutely fascinating.
Oh, yeah, and she is. Her books are amazing. She's a fascinating person. There's a presence about Dolores Cannon, you know, and she's very grounded and straight up. She's a lovely woman, and I experienced a miracle during her training because she does a healing on someone, and there was a lady that had advanced scleroderma that hadn't been able to kneel for 3 years. You know, she could barely walk. That basically the fibers in the body go hard and you can't move anymore. And she got down on her hands and knees after that session and got up, and she ran and was skipping, and it was just amazing. But it's the energy. My goodness, it's so...
I'd be blissed out.
Oh, you are blissed out. It's an absolute pleasure and an honour to be in that energy. And it's exactly the same during the hypnosis. I absolutely love the work. You know, it's not just the person having a healing. I change every time, you know, my intuition, everything. Just the joy that you feel in the world, that you're helping people, and that we are so supported as human beings by other places that, you know, want the best for us as well.
Well, that's the point. And that's why I love doing what I do, because I tell people, if there's one thing you go away remembering, is that you're God. That's as simple as it gets. And if you want to know where you're from, you are a cell of that. And anything else, don't worry about what I've said, because that's the fact of it. And you can do anything. That's all I want people to know, is that they can do anything, manifest a new tomorrow. They can change their reality. And that I can give tools, but in the end, it's really up to them how things manifest and project into their reality, and just letting them know that this is real,
yes,
they can do with it what they may.
Well, that's proven now. You know, they've proven power of prayer and thought for people that have needed healing, and, you know, your thoughts really do create your reality. In fact, I have God I Am tattooed on my arm.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. It was actually at Dolores Cannon's talk on the Gold Coast. She showed a movie. And it was actually about that statement, I am God, or God I am. And the girlfriends I had with me were nudging me all night, because it was looking pretty evident that's what the theory was, that we are all God, we are all connected. You know, there's no such thing as a solid object. Everything's vibrating. It's basic science.
It's a holographic universe, and God surrounds the whole darn thing with all these planes within it, and we're all spirits that left it to go and experience life and gain knowledge in every single way.
Just an expression of God experiencing itself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's where it gets beautiful. Just back to Dolores quickly, I just wanted to say this just for the listeners and the viewers. Reading your book, if I'm correct, there's been times where people have had broken bones and you could hear them basically sewing themselves back together, and by the end of the session, the bone's not broken anymore.
Sure. She told us of tumours dissolving in front of her eyes. She's had doctors bring their wives on oxygen for emphysema that have left without the oxygen, people that have turned up in wheelchairs and left without their wheelchair in an instant. I've had a case of a lady who had uterine cancer. She had mutated cells that got the healing in one session. So it's pretty amazing.
Trippy. What I get now from her is that yous are carrying on her work, all yous around the world are carrying on her work, because she's got to the stage now where she's just teaching, because, she, you know, she's getting older.
I tell you, she probably does more than you and I put together.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, that she's had to sort of focus where she's going now, and sort of she's getting that way of what she does. She's teaching that, and then others carry that out. It goes like a spider web effect out.
Sure.
Because it's sort of the new way, I think, if people take this to be real after reading her books and looking at the facts, this is sort of the future way of healing.
Sure.
Not, you know, doing surgery and all that stuff. This is connecting with the higher self, which manipulates the body and heals itself without any foreign objects coming in or out.
Sure. She has an academy, which I'm part of, and it is global, a global network now, but she has thousands of people doing the work. And it is all, you know, the higher self is the higher mind.
Yeah.
It's the God mind. And we actually create the disease through our mind.
Exactly.
You know, our body has neurochemicals and toxins released with negative thoughts. You know, it's the same as the studies they've done on water. You put good words on a glass of water, it changes the structure. We're exactly the same when we have negative thoughts. The cells in our bodies change.
Exactly.
And with a chemical environment, we get disease. Even there's no such thing as an accident. You know, everything is created for a reason. There's always a cause and effect in the universe.
Well, that's the thing with a lot of the healing. There's things that cannot be done if the person in their higher self or even deep within, usually the higher self won't do it, but if they're deep within thinking, I need this because I'm going to get a dole check out of it. I'm going to, you know, because they want to stay on disability or whatever and they can be healed.
Sure.
It's also with, at the same time, there's been clients, or not really clients, just people I can't help, because I'm being told on a higher level that I can't screw with their spiritual evolution.
Sure.
And that's where it's hard, because they're like, people say you can do this and do this, blah, blah, blah. And it's hard because a lot of people even involved with what's going on with myself, I know who they are. I know where they're from. I know why we're connected, but I can't tell them. And they know, and they respect me for it, but it pisses me off because I just wish I could, but I can't.
Sure.
And that's the way it is, unfortunately. And that's what's is frustrating, when you are trying to help somebody, but then you realise, in the healing sense, that they don't want it.
Well, we just facilitate this, really. It really is a choice. I had a client a while back that wanted to control the session, and I knew she wasn't going to get what she wanted because it was fear based, and you have to believe, well, no, not necessarily believe, but accept that you want hypnosis and you want to heal. And with Dolores' work, she told us that if you don't have good intent of helping others, the oversoul won't work with you. She said she had a gentleman there who said, imagine we can control the minds of men. And she said to him, it's never going to work for him. You have to be coming from a place of love and integrity with true, you know, intent to help people, and then it'll work with you. So she has people that do a course that can't do it, and that's, you know, she says people say, oh, it doesn't work. Well, it's not working because they want monetary gain, or they want fame in their community, or whatever it is. It's not really about helping people. So you know, the facilitator can block it through their intent as well.
Oh, exactly. And that's the mate, like, it goes back
to fuzzy, Peter.
What's that? What did you say?
You're breaking up. You went all fuzzy.
Fuzzy. As I said, I seem to get worse connections here in Australia than I do overseas when talking. But that's a good point. It was going back to initiating contact, is that I get so many people, oh, I wish I could see this, blah, blah, blah. And you talk to them for just a few minutes or get a few messages from them. And I'm never rude. I don't even say what they need to do with themselves for this to work. I just say, you know, not at the time, you know. I'm busy, which I am a lot of the time, because when I do it, I know that those with good intent, all of it will work out how it's got to go. Because if their intent isn't where in it from a place of love, like you're saying, good intent, love in your heart, and being open-minded to just the, you know, the unexpected, which should be expected, sure. Susan Chancellor said on the show that things just aren't going to happen and you're not going to evolve. That's actually your own roadblock. And fear is a big, big part in that too. And it is frustrating, because people will hold you back too. They'll have a go at you for, you should be able to summon this and do this and that. And they don't get that it's invitation, it's consciousness connecting from one place to another, although we're in one big consciousness. And this is where it does get frustrating, because people do use it against you as well. But that's the point, is that there's people out there to make money, this and that. And that's why I don't make money off the shows. I probably get 50 cents to $3, depending on my books. I got $20 last month from my books, and people think I'm a millionaire just because I've got 4 books out there. I'm on welfare, and I do what I do because this is what I've got to do. and money's not no factor in it. It's just, I know, like I've said upstairs, if this is what I'm doing, which I know it is, make sure that the bills get paid and I'll get by. And I said to everybody, you can have the same outcome, but I said, if you get greedy, that will be your downfall. And that's where it all lies, is that we're always going to get by, but it's good that you brought up the fear-based thing, because it that's another frustrating that has been for me with healing, is that there's a lot of people fear-based. And fear to me is what holds not just humanity but other beings in other planes and dimensions back from evolving. And the fear comes from the unknown.
Well, you know, I mean, fear has its place if you're in danger, but it's really irrational. It's fearing something that isn't even a reality.
Exactly. You know, it's an illusion.
It's an illusion. And, you know, could you imagine being a being from another dimension that is loving and peaceful, looking at humanity, what we do in fear, war and killing, you know, would you show up?
Well, that's a very good point. And people have said, you know, weird stuff to me about it, but there's this light being that appears, and she's appeared as human. She's not even a she, but her name's Shiji from the Pleiades. And this is not your average three-dimensional, like, human type. This is something that can manifest anything it wants to. And I asked her at times, you know, why can't others see you? And people have now. Others have seen her rock up and the crafts. But what happened was, she said, your vibration does not feel good with us. So she said, at times we can only come so close. And that at other times she's had to use my actual energy to compensate for being in this vibration down so low. It could be the neighbours, it could be the town itself that's bringing that. It makes them feel sick.
Yeah.
But in saying that, she doesn't need a craft, but her groups of beings, and I've been in the craft, they, as a group, manifest a craft out of thought to protect them in other vibrations.
Sure.
So they don't need a craft, but them, when connecting, get stronger, create the craft, and it protects them until they pop out wherever they got to go. So this is where people are going to go, this dude's going into some far out stuff. But that's where it is. And it's the same like you were saying before, how we create our own disease and that. People think that's far out stuff. And I tell people that all the time, but they just look at you like you're loopy, because they don't understand the higher aspects of this holographic universe, self and oneness.
Sure. It's something great about the quantum cellular resonance that I created. The first thing we do is go into their programming. And what I managed to do is actually, they can see their life where they created it. They can see the way they act, the way they do, relationships, troubles, how it's related to those early experiences. So when they can see the pattern, they can actually get that they created it. And so if they created it, you can change it.
Exactly. That's a beautiful point. And the way you put that is absolutely beautiful. That is spot on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No, but that is very well put, because that's where, when people start to awaken, they get what we're saying now. And they will know everything themselves. It will come in. But it's in the starting phases where a lot of the frustration for the experiences come in, because they want to know this, they want to know that. But they're, you know, it's in the beginning you'll see crafts or you'll see beings, but it's like, hey, what it is it's really about consciousness.
Definitely.
All the things lead back to it.
And, you know, and if a person's in a state of fear with consciousness for sighting, you know, they're part of their point is to help us awaken and become part of the, you know, galactic community. If we're in fear, they're not going to show up. They don't want to frighten us, because that actually closes consciousness down. So that's why the connection part is so important, and staying in a heart space and trying not to rush it, and just connecting small time daily, you know, just getting into your heart with the intention of connecting, so that you start to feel comfortable with it, and they will show up.
Well, that's it. I'll tell people, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, turn the bloody phone off, turn the telly off, get out of the house, go and do some grounding, and just sit there and just not even do anything for 5 minutes. That's even progression.
Sure. I tell people just to go out and be on the earth, barefoot, and just focus on breathing, and just focus on feeling the breath coming in to your mouth and then filling your lungs. And that there puts you into right brain, so you stop analysing everything. It changes your vibration straight away. And that's when you'll start to, open your eyes, and you might see something, because you've just changed your vibration, and it'll be a flash of something, and, you know, and you're sort of, did I see that? And then you get excited, I did see that. And so that will take people into wanting to do it more. And something simple as focusing on your breath and let fear drop away.
Exactly. And it's also, I was saying to somebody the other day that I was pointing out how they were getting thoughts that weren't their thoughts.
Sure.
Which, you know, again, is thought transfer from another source coming in. And once I related to, is that, like, because there's times when you'll have an idea and the problem you've been trying to fix all day, all week, all of a sudden comes bang and you fix that problem because of that thought.
Sure.
But then other times, these beings will give you those thoughts, and that's what I was trying to say, the difference between, because they didn't know, and I tell everybody, everybody is having contact, whether with their guides or with whoever. It's just, if you knew how plain as day as it was, they expect that bloody doves will fly down and angels will walk, you know, all this stuff, they're thinking, just, they're not thinking, you know, to think the unexpected, which is, it's already in your face and it's already happening. It's up to you if you're going to pick up on it or not.
Because we complicate.
Exactly.
You know, we need to keep it simple. It's actually a very natural state for us all. You know, if you've ever had a newborn baby, it's just radiating love, and they quite often look like they're looking at things or talking to things. I know with my own children, they were seeing things in the room, and luckily with my abilities, if I tuned in, I knew they were talking to whatever. You know, it is a very natural state for us. We make it complicated through our programming as young people to not believe in imaginary friends and, you know, all that kind of thing. We just sort of shut it down. I think we all have the ability. We just have to practice and have some trust in ourselves.
Well, it is, in having faith within ourselves, trust, and that's where it really lies, because when you've got doubt, that can put a lot of roadblocks up. Without, yeah, and you won't get anywhere. But when you've just got that little bit of trust, faith, that will manifest into greater, and it will grow and continue to grow, because it is an ever process, awakening. And even when we're done with this life, I know that the beings that I'm in communication with, they're still learning too. And even though they're highly evolved, they've got a greater understanding of consciousness and the universe and the oneness. But they're still evolving as well. And this is where we're all in the same boat. It's just we're on different levels. But in between lives, I think we've got a greater picture. We know and we can access everything. It's when you go into whatever life you're going to, there's those roadblocks. But fear is the biggest thing holding us back. And if we can get rid of that, there's still going to be roadblocks, but we're going to evolve a hell of a lot quicker, because what puts up those roadblocks is the fear mainly.
Definitely. It's, you know, the lowest vibration there is. We're not going to have a lot of contact if we're out there. And, you know, if you are really fearful, maybe you shouldn't be doing it at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because it, especially with initiating contact, that wears off on the group. And others pick up on it. And when you're trying to do it as a group thing, that's where... it was funny because we took my mum out and a craft came down that low that she ran up to the car and wanted to go home because she thought it was going to land. The craft started to go back up.
Yeah.
I said, I wouldn't normally do this, but I said, no, you got to stay. You got to watch this, because I said, I'm going through this and you're going to know it's a real reality. And ever since then, she's had daytime sightings.
Yeah.
And my parents, I don't know if it was a parent thing saying, oh, we believe you, and they didn't. You know, because you got that doubt. But once everyone in my family's seen something now, it's like, you know, absorb it. And I said, you're going to go away from this now having your experiences happen, which has happened to all of them now. So that fear was installed in her at that time. But it was the fear of the unknown. And it actually weared off on all of us that night, and the crafts stayed up high again.
Sure.
They're doing cool stuff, powering up and zigzagging and, you know, changing manoeuvres. But it affected where we were starting to go that night. And her friend was with us who's had experiences, and she was really cool with it. But with Mum, it was like, what the hell, you know, this shit's real. And it was coming down. I don't know how low it got, but it got pretty darn low. It was like putting a basketball up in front of you. And that's how, it was just a golden white light and completely silent. But she needed that experience. And I think me keeping her there actually broke that fear barrier for her. But it does wear off on a group. And it's good that you're doing that up there now. Where's the locations you've got chosen? Are you going to be doing in different spots?
Yes, I'm trying to secure a location at the moment on a private property, a few hundred acre property, about 40 kilometres out of Mullaney, where there's not a huge flight path, and where it's safe you know, as far as using lasers and things like that, tend to keep the location secret and tell the people the day before so that they can have the coordinates to do remote viewing or just putting the energy in, just so that you don't get people that aren't involved in the group turning up, so that it's a safety thing for everybody.
Definitely, yeah. And there is that preparation needed.
Sure. With CDRG, we've gone up to Mount Sampson, which is about 40 minutes drive from here, and there's a Lyell Deer Farm, which is beautiful there. It has a lot of energy, did a lot of energy work and shamanic retreats. The couple that owns that. Also up at Springbrook Mountain is a great spot. Greg from the Smurf Research Centre up there, you know, he's got amazing infrared particle beams and all sorts of things.
That's so the stuff, yeah.
It's great experiences up there. That's actually where Stephen Greer's weekend was held up there. But I have a couple acre property, so I've got a little stone circle in the backyard, and that's where I go out and do my own personal work.
Cool.
Yeah.
It works anywhere. I prefer going out of town. We've gone to Mount Buffalo over the Christmas, and we just got that many sightings, it wasn't even funny. And people were predicting where they were going to come up, and bang, the crafts popped up and powered up. I go out of town here near the Weir. Sometimes I go up to a few hills around here, but mainly I do it from the backyard, which is about 2.5 metres wide by 5 metres, the tiniest backyard you can imagine. My front yard is bigger. I've got more light pollution. So people have been here and I've walked straight out the back and gone, look. So it works anywhere, but I recommend out of town because you've got better energy, better view of the sky.
And quiet.
There's no distractions of cars or horns or people drunk, you know, a few blocks away making a noise. So
I'm actually next to quite a busy road, and it gets quiet at night. And it still happens. This is my backyard, and I'm very lucky that the stars and the Milky Way is directly overhead at the moment. But, you know, I've done it on the beach during the daytime. I've had sightings at night on the beach at Malulaba, which was plenty of light pollution.
It's a beautiful area.
It is. Plenty of light pollution. And we saw a gorgeous cigar-shaped silver craft. Was actually listening to our conversation. It was monitoring. We'd just been reading some books about consciousness, and I was discussing it with a friend who was struggling with it a little bit, and a beautiful craft, and we saw it disappear into the light over Malulaba beachfront. I've been into the rainforest where I couldn't actually see the sky, and I was using Stephen Greer's crop circles at the time, and, you know, the magnetometer that uses the micro Teslas, it beeps.
Yeah.
It just makes a beep. And sort of, you know, like for me, if there's a ghost, I get around a 200 reading. Anything up over 600, I usually consider contact. You know, I've had readings in there that went up to 2,000 on the meter, and didn't just beep, made a beautiful musical tone that had repetition and rhythm and just beautiful, but it's the feeling you get with it. So you can do it anywhere.
Oh, you know, definitely. A day or night.
On the side, I just pulled over on the side of the road, had that feeling that they were going to show me something, and just started taking photos with just my iPhone, and seeing crafts over the Glasshouse Mountains, just anywhere. I think, you know, when you're in that level of consciousness and intent, they will communicate in some way, whether it's telepathy, whether it's lights in the sky. I've had them show up in photos, so, you know, just as light beings in photos, so.
Yeah, no, I've got very similar all-ranging stuff like you're saying, and yeah, it's not just, you know, go out at night time. You can do this anytime, anywhere. If you feel a connection, take a few photos, you know, if you feel something's about, because how our eyes and our brains work, is they're not working in sync. Really, it's just allowing us to see what we think is there, which there's so much more going on, but the camera will pick it up, and it's happened a lot here where I had a friend down from Sydney. It's happened with a few people that have visited. And I said, can't you see them? And like, they're right above the house.
Sure.
And they take the photos, and they're not seeing anything. And then we upload the photos, and it's there. And they're like, you weren't bullshitting me. I said, no, they were right there. See? And they're just like, I can't believe it. But we're both looking in the same spot, the same area.
Sure.
But they're not picking it up.
Look, I've had that where I've had other people there, and they've seen the craft, and I'm not seeing them. But I can feel it.
Yeah.
And it gets pretty frustrating when you're there and you're doing the work and you want to see it. But the camera, they're so great at picking up, you know, the digital cameras, the pixelated images and different frequency that they show up on the photos and
Yes,
things.
just picking up more of that light range, the electromagnetic spectrum part of, our light, the light spectrum, is picking up a wider range of that. So, same with the infrared. I've been using infrared for a while, and they just pick up so much more stuff in the house as well. I've been using them again lately. I got an orb last night crossing the front door, and the other night I had a grey out the front, and I put the camera up, and the thing didn't come back. But I've got this weird orb that came up, but I was watching it, waiting for it to pop up, but this orb came in. So the more tools you can have, just like the magnetometers and the EMF meters, like you're saying, these are all great tools to help out. So
Sure.
all that's fantastic. Well, I'll let you go, Lauren, and thank you very much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
We'll have to chat again sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great.
All right, thank you very much, and we'll talk soon, Dale.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.